Okay, good evening everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Become an Expert Facilitator. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Bruce Musick, but before I do that, please allow me to share exactly how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peoplewhoshouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Bruce a whole series of different questions on our topic. Now, because we've been so inundated with questions from people from all over the world, rather than actually ask people specific questions this evening, what we've decided to do was to actually take the questions and aggregate them into different themes. So even though we may not ask your questions specifically, just pay very, very close attention to the themes that emerge, because you'll find that your question hopefully will be answered in across the mix of questions that we do ask. Now, I also wanted to share why I personally felt moved to have a teleseminar on speaking and presenting and facilitating and training. And it really, I guess the seeds of this call began probably 6 years ago. And I remember at the time, for me personally, I felt very moved to start sharing my message and standing up and expressing myself more fully. And I knew the only way that I could really do that properly was to actually become a speaker, facilitator, and trainer. And the whole thought of this absolutely filled me with trepidation. And around about the same time, I had an opportunity to introduce a speaker at a conference in front of around 300 people. And I remember waking up on the morning of that conference being absolutely terrified about the prospect of having these people watch me on stage. And the combination of this fear and I think over preparation, I actually hit the stage, managed to squeeze out a couple of sentences, and then my mind went absolutely blank. It froze. And there I was standing with 600 eyeballs staring me down, and I had not a single word to say. And this awkward silence went on for around, it felt like 15 or 20 seconds, but like when you're in those moments, like it actually felt like a total lifetime was passing by, and just watching all the anguish in the audience faces, just watching me in this moment of absolute fear and struck terror. And thankfully, a couple of moments later, I managed to snap out of it and then mumbled out the rest of the introduction. And I left the stage that day just committing to myself that I was going to be a powerful speaker and trainer. I know for many people on this call, we have lots of coaches, therapists, trainers, authors that really have very, very powerful messages and would love to be the ability to stand on stage and to deliver those messages with absolute confidence, with passion, and also in a way that people can then actually fully receive those messages. It really gives me great pleasure this evening to host this call, because the guest that we have this evening, Bruce Musick, is no stranger to the world of facilitation and speaking and training. Now, Bruce is a celebrated international speaker. He's often flying around the world to Africa, to America, to Asia, to speak and share his messages of empowerment. And I guess for me, I've known Bruce for a few years now, and I've seen him grow, and he's really been a tremendous inspiration for me in the work that he does. And also more recently, he's also been a coach and mentor for my own speaking and training development as well. So it gives me great pleasure, and I'm in great anticipation to hear this incredible call. So welcome to the call, Bruce Musick.
Thank you, Damien. It's an absolute privilege to be here.
And you're tuning in from South Africa this evening.
I am. I'm in a little place called Franschhoek, which is a beautiful vineyard winelands town in the middle, kind of tucked in, nested in between some beautiful big mountains. And we had the most gorgeous sunset this evening. It's 10 o'clock at night over here. And I am so pumped up about this call. I've been thinking about it all day as I was riding my motorcycle through the desert today, planning on what I was going to share. And I think this is possibly going to be the most exciting call I've ever done, because this is one of my favorite topics in the world, if not my favorite topic in the world, to teach, teaching other teachers how to teach. Because I think it's one of the greatest things that's missing in our world today is great teachers who actually make a real difference in the world. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I think we're in this era of self-empowerment and this age of self-empowerment. Having powerful facilitators and speakers who can deliver a powerful message is required more than anything in the world now. So I wholeheartedly agree with that. Now, Bruce, I shared a personal anecdote of absolute terror of being on stage in front of 300 people, and I was just wondering, have you ever experienced fear before standing in front of an audience, or have you always been a confident presenter and speaker?
No, I was born a confident presenter and speaker. That's how I came out the womb. And no, I'm just kidding. No, I was terrified for most of my life of speaking, actually. I mean, it is known as the fear that's worse than more feared than death. And I think my story is how I became a speaker. It goes back probably 5 or 6 years ago. I'd just done a course with a man called Tony Quinn on the law of attraction, and I was very excited by what I'd learned, and I wanted to share it with the world. And I didn't know how to do it, and I was broke at the time, dead broke. I mean, I had less than my money. I was paying my mortgage, my bond, on my credit card. I was paying for my house on my credit card. That's how broke I was. But I had this vision that I was going to teach, and I wanted to travel the world teaching, and that I'd live this amazing lifestyle, kind of traveling on airplanes to foreign lands, meeting new people, and teaching them everything I knew about how to create the life of their dreams. And that was a big grand goal that I had, but my current reality at that point was very, very different in that I couldn't even afford to pay for my house. So I decided to take a big leap, Damien, and I decided I was just going to design a course and go for it. And I didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew that I was passionate about the information that I was going to present, and that I felt the world needed to hear about it. And if any of you on this call feel that way about something that you would like to teach, then you'll know what that's like. So I threw myself in the deep end, and I decided before I went and kind of exposed myself to the world, maybe I should try it out with my friends first. So I phoned up a couple of friends, and I said to them, I'm doing a talk next week, and I want to invite you to come along to my talk. And I got like 10 people who said they were going to come. And I still had no talk at this point, but I'd kind of put a stake in the ground, and I'd committed myself and made myself accountable by committing to doing this talk. I found a little venue at one of my friend's mother's art studio. That week, I hardly slept, Damien. Day and night, I was working on designing this course, you know, just terrified that I'd get up there and it would be terrible and they wouldn't like me, and I had to make as good as I could. And I went out there, and a week later, I led my course. They seemed to like it. Well, they told me they liked it anyway. And so I booked another one and another one and another one, and their friends told their friends. And within 1 week, I had led my first four courses to 120 people.
Wow.
And after having done four courses in a week to 120 people, I had a whole lot more confidence than I had had before. And I think the lesson in here was kind of total immersion, just taking a leap of faith, trusting myself. And not doing one course a month, but doing four in a week meant that by the end of the week, not only did I feel more confident, but I'd also asked everybody to write me a testimonial.
Mm.
So I had 120 testimonials that I could put on my website. And then I went back to London. This was in South Africa at the time. I went back to London about a month later, and I led my first course where I charged everybody £100 a head. It's about $150 for those of you in the States, or 1,500 Rand for those of you in South Africa. And I charged them £100 a head to come to my seminar, and I got 10 people there, and suddenly I'd made £1,500. I was like, wow, that's great. And the next month I got up to 20 people, and I started charging £150 a head, until I was leading to several hundred people charging £1,000 a head. So it's now kind of got to the point where my speaking has taken me around the world. I've met many extraordinary people and learned from many masters who've helped me along the way. And what I'm committed to doing this evening and this tonight's call is sharing some of the secrets and the tricks and the mindsets that I've learned along the way on how to become a successful speaker and facilitator.
Great. Now, I was just wondering, Bruce, if you could actually, it was such a vivid description of a few years ago, I was just wondering if you could, for the benefit of the caller on the line this evening, if you could actually share what it's actually like to travel the world today, living your dreams, sharing and empowering people all around the world.
Well, thank you for asking that, because it's I love sharing this part too. Well, let me firstly paint this picture. It's not all fun and games. There's a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of preparation, and a lot of practice required. And you know, I make it sound easy now because I've put in the hard work and that's all behind me. But I spent a lot of time practicing, a lot of time learning from masters, a lot of time training myself, and I've had my fair share of how should we say this, cock-ups along the way, where I've gone on stage I mean, even so, recently, as November last year, I went on stage in front of 600 people, and I bombed. I remember thinking to myself, I need to just get off the stage now. And you know, even with everything that I know about speaking, you know, my hour talk ended up being a 25-minute talk, and I kind of ran for my life with my tail between my legs. But it was a learning experience. But, you know, what teaching has allowed me to do is get the satisfaction of knowing I'm making a difference and helping a lot of people. B, it gives me the freedom to travel around the world and to teach from wherever I want, especially now that I'm teaching a lot through the Internet. Like a classic example is right now. You know, I've spent the last 4 days riding through a South African desert called the Karoo on my motorcycle, and all I've had with me is my laptop and a few changes of underwear and some clothes. I'm quite smelly right now, so you're probably a good thing you're not standing next to me in the 40-degree heat. And I've been able to work and teach from my laptop all around the world. I recorded a video on the side of the road the other day teaching people stuff, and I had it up online, and an hour later, I get to meet incredible people. I was speaking at Dr. Joe Vitale, one of the teachers in the movie The Secret. I was speaking at his seminar in January, which is extraordinary. I'm getting flown over to Bali in 3 weeks' time in Indonesia to go and speak at an entrepreneurial seminar. So there's a lot of fun, and you get to meet some really great people when you're a good teacher, because people respect good teachers, and word of mouth travels fast. And you'll meet people you never believed you would have access to before. So it's been pretty extraordinary that way. And it's given me a wonderful lifestyle of you know, setting me financially free and being able to travel around the world doing what I love.
That's awesome. Just these experiences that you can actually participate in just by having the freedom to be wherever you want in the world is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bruce, I just wanted to also just sort of clarify the distinctions around what a speaker is and what a trainer is and what a teacher is. And I was just wondering, are they all the same thing, or are there nuances that distinguish the different definitions out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let's have a look at education, actually. I was just having a conversation with a friend I'm staying with this evening, and he was saying, Bruce, do you know the root of the word educate? And I was saying, actually, you know, I do. It comes from the Latin word educe. And to educe in Latin means to draw out from within. So really, as a speaker or a teacher, our job is to draw out people's natural gifts from within. However, this isn't how most people teach or how most of our teachers taught us. What most of our teachers did was they tried to drum information into us and like hammer it in and force it inside of us instead of drawing it naturally out from within. So I'm going to make a couple of distinctions between being a teacher and being a trainer. And for those of you who are teachers on the call, please don't take offense. And my intention here is not to diss teachers. I just want to kind of create some distinctions that will give us some power around understanding how to be a great trainer. So whereas a trainer pulls out people's natural gifts from within, a teacher tends to try and drum information in, or I'm talking about the average teacher, right? Another mistake that most teachers make is they focus on delivering information rather than creating behavior change. And one of the things I'm passionate about, Damien, is that, you know, if I teach somebody to train, one of the first things I say to them is our job is not to get information into people's heads. Our job is to help people change their behavior. See, information is kind of a commodity these days. It's easy to come by. You can get most information for free on the Internet, and information alone doesn't really cause any kind of transformational change. I mean, if you think about, you know, most of us have read a whole bunch of how-to books over the years or personal development books, and there's probably about two of them that I can really think of that have made some kind of change in my psyche. The rest of them, I don't remember what they are. I can probably remember about one thing about it, about each book, because they didn't create behavior change in me. They just gave me some information, some intellectual information. And a lot of teachers get fascinated by their information and forget about the fact that information on its own is useless, is meaningless, and unless applied, unless translated into some kind of behavior change, doesn't really have a whole lot of value. So I like to call this mental masturbation, right? It's the fascination with one's information and one's data and just delivering the information rather than causing behavior change. So what trainers do is they cause behavior change, and to take that to a new level, really good trainers will be able to actually install skill sets into people. One of my mentors was saying to me, a man by the name of Evan Pagan was saying to me at one of his seminars the other day, that you know, he reckons, he predicts that in 10 years from now, all information is going to be free. You won't be able to need to pay for any kind of information. And the people who will be ready in demand are the people who can cause transformation and actually install skill sets in other people. And that's what's going to, they're going to get paid for. The other difference between teachers and trainers is that whereas teachers tend to, once they finish teaching, they go home, trainers tend to take more responsibility, right? They take responsibility for their students' transformation. So here's a great distinction to take away with you if you're wanting to be a really great trainer and you listen to this call. There's a level of responsibility that comes with being a great trainer. And that level of responsibility is that you are responsible for your students' learning. Now, what most school systems do is they make the student responsible for their learning and the teacher with no responsibility at all. So if the student doesn't learn, it's the student's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. Well, I'm of the belief that there are no bad students. There's just bad teachers, or should I say, there's just teachers who don't know how to teach yet, rather than bad teachers. There are no bad students, just teachers who don't know how to teach to all the kinds of students that there are out there. And tonight I'm going to share with you some distinctions that will, if you're a teacher on the call, help you teach in a way that has all your students really get engaged with what it is you're doing and what it is you're teaching. So that's a little bit about what a trainer is versus what a teacher is.
And when you were sharing that, Bruce, you actually reminded me of one of my favorite quotes, and that is, to know and not to do is not to know. And I just really love that whole aspect of having behavioral change as the absolute goal of delivering any information, and information alone isn't really going to serve people unless it actually invokes that behavior change.
Totally. I think the other thing I just forgot to add in there about being a trainer is that trainers make a lot of money, good ones, and teachers generally don't. You know, a really good trainer trains as a business and gets it that learning can be a business too, and it can be a really lucrative, profitable business to do along the way, where most teachers are salaried and they end up in institutions like universities and schools. And you know, they may be geniuses, but because they don't have the skill set that a trainer has, or the business mind that a trainer has to have, they often end up not really unlocking their wealth that way because they're stuck on a salary within an institution that doesn't allow them to release their wealth in that way. So again, I just want to say, if you're a teacher on the call, I'm not trying to diss teachers. I have the greatest respect for all teachers. Anybody who dedicates their life to helping people is extraordinary in my mind. I'm just wanting to create a distinction that separates a trainer from a teacher. Neither's better or worse, neither's good or bad, but just to be really clear, it's just when I talk about a trainer, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a leader, somebody who takes responsibility, somebody who installs skill sets, who doesn't just focus on the information but focuses on behavior change and draws out from within people's own greatness.
Cool, that's a good distinction. Now, Bruce, I know I mentioned earlier on in the call that we have lots of very, very talented people on this call with specific expert knowledge. And I was just wondering, why would someone on the call who has that knowledge, why would they actually want to actually train?
Well, that's a great question. The first reason I think you'd want to train is probably because you feel moved to. You've got some thing that you're passionate about, a solution to a problem perhaps that helps people, and you want to share your knowledge with the world. I don't know why anybody else would want to train unless you like the limelight. Well, you may like the limelight. That's also a good reason to train because you do get a lot of limelight. However, you'll never get a lot of limelight if it's all about you, if it's about the limelight, if that makes sense. People who go into teaching and training to try and get recognition usually end up falling flat in their face. It's like people who go and get into business to just make money without wanting to serve and help anybody, they never make any money in the end, you know, in the long term. So why you'd want to get into training is, you know, if you have a story, maybe something happened to you and you've learned something from your story, you want to share that with people. Maybe you want to inspire people. Maybe you always had a dream of being a speaker and inspiring people. Maybe you like the idea of being able to help people. Maybe you have a skill. Like, for example, I was in a mastermind group the other day, and I met these two guys who teach people how to teach their parrots to talk. And these guys have just done $1 million turnover last year, these two brothers. They're actually twins. Teaching people online how to teach their parrots how to talk. Now, you'd never think that they could do $1 million turnover a year teaching, but these guys are real trainers. They know the business of training. They understand the art of accelerated learning and getting people to learn, and they pack out their seminars because they've found themselves a little niche market, or niche market if you're in America. And so what I teach people to do is to do that same thing, is to figure out how to find their niche market and how to train in such a way that they captivate their audience, their audience transform, and they come back for more and end up spending more money with a trainer. So that's another way to do it. And you get to live, do what you love doing. You know, if you've got a hobby that you're passionate about, like teaching parrots how to talk, well, you get to do it all the time. You know, I've seen some of the most crazy, obscure niches, like teaching dogs how to sit. The pet niche is very interesting, or sports is great. If you're good at sports and you know how to do something, or, you know, my niche, what I teach is how to program your mind and how to get big results with the law of attraction. So whatever you're passionate about, you can teach, and you can make a lot of money doing so and create a lifestyle for yourself that you love. You know, one of the things that I teach people to do is how to make $20,000 a weekend teaching what they love. Because I've done that several times, and something I can say with congruency, it's not difficult to get the point where you're making $20,000 a weekend teaching what you love. I did that in the space of 18 months. And I have a course coming up called Teaching Riches that teaches people how to do that. And so I think it's the one thing that a lot of people overlook is that, in fact, there is money in teaching. Most people think that teaching is you know, you're going to remain broke, but not necessarily the case at all.
Mm. Yeah, so just thinking the story of the parrot guys, I think the pet niches are absolutely fascinating. And I remember just being in a training where one of the guys, it was one of my internet marketing trainings, and one of the guys on the training actually had a birthday cake business, and we decided just to do some keyword analysis, and lo and behold, one of the biggest keywords that he was unaware of was birthday cakes for dogs, and literally just bring into a completely new business for him. It's amazing the things that people are looking for out there if you just take a bit of time to do some research.
Okay.
Now, I guess the other thing that I'm very aware of as well, Bruce, is that there are people on this call are from a variety of different training backgrounds. So some maybe just beginning that journey. We've also got some very, very experienced facilitators and trainers on the call as well. But I was just wondering if you could actually share some common mistakes that you see with new facilitators and also some more seasoned facilitators as well.
Great. And before I do, Damien, just for those of you on the call, I just want to I didn't actually say what I wanted to teach in the call. Just so you know what to look forward to, in a moment's time, we're just going to talk about how to start any speech or seminar so that the audience love you from the beginning. I'm going to teach you a step-by-step system. I'm also going to teach you how to teach to different learning styles in the audience along the way. So you stick around and you'll get a lot of that great information too. Okay, well, some of the first common mistake that most people make as new trainers is that they think their data is more important than anything else. They think their information is more important than anything else. Here's what's important about being a trainer. You need to give your students an experience. An experience is far more important than your information. And there's a great saying that goes like this: tell me and I will forget. Show me and I may remember. But involve me and I'll understand. Let me say that again. Tell me and I will forget. Show me and I may remember, but involve me and I'll definitely understand. And what you want to do is give your students an understanding by involving them in the learning experience. So a common mistake most trainers make, or teachers make, or newbie trainers make, is they stand up there and they talk at their participants. They almost like it's a one-way monologue rather than involving their participants in a two-way dialogue, right? When you involve your participants in learning, then what ends up happening is they remember more, their energy stays high, they have a whole lot more fun, and they end up actually learning and understanding because they're involved in the learning. Whereas when you're just telling them, they're going to forget. And research shows that most people will forget what they've heard or what they've been told, 90% of it within 24 hours. So if you're the kind of speaker who stands up there and just talks at your audience, you can be certain that by tomorrow they will have forgotten 90% of what you've taught them and remember only 10%. So in essence, you're standing up there for your benefit only, and another way to look at that is that it's totally selfish, although it's unintentional by most speakers who do this. But another way to kind of reframe that is that it's actually really selfish because you're robbing your students of the learning that they're paying you for, you know. But what most teachers would do is they'd blame the students, saying it's their fault, rather than looking at themselves as teachers and see, you know, what am I not doing that I could be doing that could help these people learn more. So that's, you know, one common mistake. Another one is boring people to death. That's a mistake I see new trainers make all the time. They speak in a monotone like this. They're not very exciting, and they don't really want to stand out from the crowd too much, so they never really get very dynamic. And before long, the audience start fuming because they're so bored out of their minds, and then they start leaving very quietly from the back of the room. And I see this happening, and I just cringe for the audience and for the speaker, because when you're standing on stage, you know, it's a terrifying thing to do, and then you see people walking out the back of the room and you don't know what to do. That's the most frustrating part. It's like you actually don't know what to do to liven the room up again. Well, what I teach in my Teaching Riches seminar is like all about how to liven up an audience. And for those of you who are interested, you can go to www.teachingriches.com and check out what we're doing. We're starting a TEDx seminar in a month, a teacher's training seminar. Alrighty, so let's have a look. Did you say something, Demo?
No. Like, so you've shared the two common mistakes.
Okay, we're going to go to number three.
Okay.
Alrighty. So another mistake I see, a common mistake I see new trainers making, is that they talk about themselves too much. They stand up there and the very first thing they say is, "Hi, my name is so-and-so." So they're already, the first words out of their mouth is all about themselves. "I'd like to tell you about my course." It's all about them again. And then they talk about their life, their story, themselves, over and over and over again, with never asking the audience to interact ever, or asking the audience what they think. And then at the end, they come up and they try and sell their product or pitch their product to the audience and wonder why nobody buys, right? You know, if you are a speaker who stands up there just speaking about yourself all the time, I can guarantee you, you're broke, right? Because nobody's buying your stuff and you're not making any money and you keep having to find new clients who will listen to you because the old ones aren't coming back. Now, what do you do about this, you know, if you're talking about yourself so much? Well, one way to get over this and to avoid this mistake is to start asking questions. One of the things you'll see me do in my trainings a lot is I'm always asking the audience questions, asking them for their opinion, asking them what they think about something, asking them if they can relate to that. And what that does, the asking of questions from the stage, engages the audience that they have to think about what you're saying. And if you can get them to repeat something back, to actually say some words back to you, they're going to have told you what they learn. And one of my favorite ways to describe how this is useful is that if I tell you something, all that it proves is that I know it. And that doesn't make any difference to you. But if you tell me something, it proves that you know it. So if I can get you to tell me something as a trainer, if I can get you to respond to me, to tell me and to show me that you've understood what I'm teaching, suddenly the learning process is beginning and behavior change starts to happen. But if it's just somebody downloading data, talking about themselves the whole time, there will be no learning. And here's the thing that most people don't get. Nobody is interested in you. I hate to break it to you, but nobody is really interested in you. Who's everybody interested in? Themselves, right? We're all just interested in ourselves and what's in it for us. So when a speaker stands up on stage and makes the mistake of speaking about themselves all the time, they disconnect with the audience. They lose the connection with the audience because the audience can't relate to that. So, you know, there are times when you're speaking that you're going to need to talk about yourself, like when you tell a story. And when you do that, here's a little trick and a little tip you can use to turn it around so that the audience can relate to it. Just say this to your audience. Stick your hand in the air and say, after you've told your story, or in the middle of your story as you're telling it, and say, how many of you can relate to that as well in your life? And let them just stand there quietly and just let them raise their hands, and they'll nod their heads, and suddenly they'll be thinking about how your story relates to their life. And suddenly your story will come alive for them and have some meaning for them, because it won't just be about you, it'll be about them. So when I'm speaking to a live audience, right now I can't interact with the people on the phone because you're all muted, but if this was a live call, I would kind of like say, okay, now who can shout out, you know, somebody shout out to how, you know, how many of you can relate to that? And I'll hear you all shout out and say, okay, great, and would carry on like that. So that's a real useful trick that you can use, and your audience will thank you for it because it takes the focus off you and back onto them and forces them to think about how your work is applicable in their life. So that was another common mistake that most people make. And then the last one I'm going to go through, and then I'm going to give you kind of a solution to it in our next section. This last mistake that people make when they're training is being scared of the audience. Okay, being scared of the audience. I think that's the fifth one that I've listed so far. So mistake number five is being scared of the audience. So you might think to yourself, well, I don't have any control over whether or not I'm scared. How on earth am I ever going to overcome this? Because a lot of people do feel nervous when going on stage. Certainly I do still, even now as a seasoned speaker. You know, if I'm not feeling nerves, I know there's something wrong. But when you're scared of the audience, that's something different. Because when you're fearful of the audience, you relate to the audience like they're hostile. You relate to them like they're the enemy, not like they're your friends. And what ends up happening is you start to speak to the audience in a way, and unconsciously, you're communicating to them that you think that they're hostile and that you're under threat. Now, what is the threat of standing up and being on stage? Because in real life, you're not really under any kind of threat. Well, here is the threat. You're under the threat, or your mind perceives that it's under the threat of risking being humiliated. What if somebody in the audience disagreed with you and started heckling with you and started shouting out from the audience and disrupting your talk? That's every speaker's worst nightmare. So we're putting ourselves at risk just standing up. So in a sense, the audience does pose a potential risk, and that could be scary. But if you buy into that, what's going to happen is you're going to speak to the audience in a hostile manner. You're going to speak to the audience like they are out to get you, and they're going to feel it subconsciously, if not consciously, and they're going to cross their arms, and you're going to have all those people sitting in the front row with crossed arms staring you down thinking, I don't like this person. I don't like this woman. I don't like this guy. And you will not be able to recover from that. It'll be very hard to recover. I mean, you know, an experienced person could, but a beginner, it's certain suicide for your talk or your seminar. So make sure you don't relate to the audience as scary. And here's what you can do. Here's a little tip you can do before you go on stage. And I do this all the time. I take 5 minutes by myself. In fact, I did it before this call, actually. And I close my eyes. And I visualize the audience as being my best friends, as being my family, as being people out there who are dying to learn what I have to share with them. And then I imagine that the information I have to share with them is the greatest gift I could possibly give them. So instead of standing up there delivering a talk, what I'm doing is I'm actually standing on stage giving these amazing people, my family, this favorite gift that I want to give them. And just visualizing that changes my whole attitude, so that by the time I walk up out on stage, my heart is open, I'm feeling loving towards the audience, and I walk up there with a big smile on my face, and you know, we end up having a great time together, and we interact like we're family. And people often come up to me after my talks and say to me, gee, Bruce, you're so down to earth. You're such, you know, you just get me. And I chuckle to myself because I know it's just the visualization that I did. Because I've experimented with this before. When I don't do the visualization, things don't always go as well. So there's a little trick you can do to relate to your audience as friendly, not as being hostile, and you won't be scared of them in the future.
Great tip. Alrighty. So, and that was it? Are there any more?
Nope, that's it for now. And what we can talk about next, Damo, is how to overcome that fear.
Okay, sure.
And so let me frame this. We're going to talk a little bit about how to start any talk or any speech or any seminar so that your audience are going to love you right off the bat, right from the beginning. Okay? So this is a question to you, Damien. Which part of your talk or your seminar are you the most nervous?
It's definitely at the start of any workshop. And I know the friends of mine that are trainers and speakers, they normally share this same experience as well, where they'll be terrified about or nervous or anxious about getting up on stage, and then literally they may have 10 minutes where they're sort of grappling with those nerves, and then they move into this blissful state of really, really enjoying the facilitation. But definitely at the start of the speech.
Okay, the start of the speech. Now, another question for you. Which time during your speech or your talk or your seminar are the audience most skeptical?
Particularly for a fresh audience, definitely at the start of the speech as well. If they've never had the opportunity to hear you speak, they're all asking questions about whether you're qualified or whether you're in integrity. They've got all these series of unanswered questions that are going through their mind just before you open your mouth. So definitely at the start of the speech as well.
So the time that's most risky on any talk is the first 5 minutes, right? You're the most nervous, and the audience are the most skeptical, so it's a recipe for disaster. And for most people, it is a disaster. For most speakers, you know, who go out there and speak and do wedding speeches or do seminars or whatever the case may be, they don't do a great job because they don't master the first 5 minutes. So what I'm going to teach you is I'm going to teach you a format, and I recommend all of you take notes on how to start any talk or speech so that the audience love you from the beginning, right? Because in the beginning, they're the most skeptical. So what this is going to do, it's going to allow you to have control of the room immediately so that when you walk on stage, you control the room straight away and that the audience are going to actually respect you and you'll never lose them. A lot of amateur speakers lose control of their audience and then everything goes down from then on. And it's also, you know, the audience are making their first impressions of you in the beginning of the talk too. So in the very first 30 seconds of meeting somebody, we make up our first impressions that last usually for life, research shows. So when you stand up there on stage, you've really got to make those first 30 seconds count. And if you don't, they're not going to listen to you or buy your courses or buy your products or do any more business with you, and you'll end up broke like most other speakers. However, if you use what I'm going to teach you now, and it's such a simple technique, and you keep involving your audience, they'll be having such a good time learning that they'll want to work with you more and more, and you'll end up making a lot of money along the way and making a lot of friends, and you'll really catch their attention. So what is this magical technique I'm going to teach you? Well, the magical technique for how to start any talk or seminar so the audience love you from the beginning is to ask what I'm going to call two enrolling questions. Now, what most amateur speakers do is they get up on stage and the first things out of their mouth are, "Hi, my name's Bruce, and I'm going to teach you about blah, blah, blah." So it's all about themselves, remember? The focus on themselves, "Hi, my name's Bruce, so it's all about me, and I'm going to teach you blah, blah, blah." They get about me again. So you remember, as a trainer, you'll be successful when you adopt the attitude and the mindset that it's not about you, it's about the audience. You're standing up there because of the audience. You wouldn't be a speaker unless there was an audience, and your job is to transform them. So here's a great way to do it. You ask two enrolling questions. And your two enrolling questions should start with the words, "How many of you?" So write that down. How many of you? I often abbreviate this in my notes to HMOY. How many of you? So you might ask the question, how many of you have ever had the experience that you got nervous on the stage when just before you got on and spoke? And stick your hand in the air and allow them to stick their hand in the air and respond. Now, then you're going to do something magical, another thing that most trainers will never do. You're going to say two magic words that will have your audience love you. And wait for it. What are the two magic words? Wait for it. They are thank you. You're going to say the words thank you. You are actually going to thank your audience within the first 5 seconds of being on stage for responding. So you're going to walk on stage, you're going to stick your hand there, and you're going to, how many of you have ever been nervous on stage before? Let's say we were teaching teachers. And the audience will stick their hands there and say, thank you. And now you're going to ask a second enrolling question. And this question is designed to catch the people who didn't stick their hands in the air the first time around. So now you're going to say to them, and how many of you would like to learn how you could have unshakable confidence standing on stage? And their hands will come in the air, and you'll look at them, you'll acknowledge them, and you'll say, thank you. Now, here's the power in this. When you say thank you to somebody, you make them feel acknowledged straight away. They're not expecting to be thanked because they haven't really done anything yet. You're also training them that it's good to respond. Because remember, great trainers interact with their audiences. Bad speakers or bad teachers just talk at their audiences. So what we're doing here by asking or beginning our talk with two questions is we're forcing the audience to think about what they want to get out of the talk, about having more confidence on stage, and we're getting them to interact with us, and we're acknowledging them, making them feel acknowledged for interacting at the same time, setting up the rest of the talk for our audience to interact with us much more naturally, because they have already, in the first 10 seconds, they've raised their hands twice and answered two questions within the first 10 seconds of being on stage. So you're conditioning them to respond, because when they respond, they learn more, right? Mm. Does that make sense, Damo?
That's great. And I guess they feel quite safe as well, just with those first interactions as well, and feel more confident
totally.
Eventually opening up as you go along.
Totally, they do. They begin to totally feel safe and trust you. And here's another thing, is it catches their attention. They are so used to speakers walking up on stage going, "Hi, my name's Bruce, and welcome to my talk," that they're not. That's what they're expecting. The minute you go and you stand there, you stick your hand there and ask a question to start off with, wow, now you've really caught their attention. They're going, whoa, what's going on here? This guy's different. And it also gives you an air of confidence, Because if you have the confidence to stand up there and ask a question to start with, you immediately get respect from the audience, right? They immediately relate to you as somebody who's powerful and who has a whole lot more respect. Now, this is such a simple trick. But if you use this, I promise you, you'll notice the difference in your audience. If you're already a speaker, and you'll know what it's like when you have an audience that feels like treacle. It's like walking through quicksand or like walking through mud. You know, no matter what you do, the audience won't respond. Well, chances are you haven't set them up like I've just told you to. If you start with your two enrolling questions, you'll notice that your audience just become so much more receptive, so much more responsive, and they really end up being far more fun to be with and easy to work with. So,
Bruce, before we go on, I actually thought this might be a perfect chance to actually invite people to respond to this call. Now, for people that are tuning in at home through the webcast, on the the actual bottom end of the webcast, you'll actually see a Submit Your Question Here form. So just if you wanted to actually share how useful those enrolling questions were to create confidence when you first hit the stage, if you actually found that really useful, by all means, this is a great opportunity for you to step forward and actually share your responses with both Bruce and I. So if you just fill in the Q&A, submit your question for the event here, and just hit submit, then we'll be able to see your feedback. So just a good way for you to actually respond, even though we can't speak directly.
Okay, great. So that was step one of four steps to introduce yourself. The first one is ask your two enrolling questions and say thank you after each one. The second one is to introduce yourself and say the name of your course. So it might go like this. Hi, my name's Bruce, and I want to welcome you to Teaching Riches, for example, which is the name of my training course. So the whole thing would now look like this. I stand up on stage, I stick my hand in there, and I go, how many of you have ever felt terrified to be on stage before? Thank you. And how many of you would like to learn how to have unshakable confidence standing on the stage speaking to the audience? Thank you. Hi, my name is Bruce Music, and I want to welcome you to Teaching Riches. Now, you memorize this word for word, and what you'll find is when you go on stage, you won't be nervous because you know exactly what you're going to say. You're not winging it. You're not making it up. It's the same thing every single time, the first couple of minutes of your talk, the same thing every time, maybe adjusting a little bit depending on who your audience. But once you've got it down and you've practiced over and over again, you're going to go on stage with unshakable confidence because you know you're going to be able to pull this off because you've done it before, you've got your stuff down pat, and you know what you're going to say. You can have the rest of your five-hour talk unplanned, but if you've planned the first 5 minutes, you're setting yourself up for success and you're ready to rock and roll. Then the third thing you're going to do is you're going to acknowledge them. You're going to thank them for their time and the effort they put into getting there. Never take your audience for granted and assume that they just pitched up because they love you. They came there, they went through, they paid money to come to your talk or to pay for your seminar or to do your online course or whatever the case may be. So you want to thank them for their time and their money, or not necessarily their money, but their time and their energy. So what I would say, you know, I'd like to acknowledge each and every one of you for coming here today, and thank you for making the effort to be here. I know each one of you could have been somewhere else tonight, but you actually chose to be here, and that tells me a lot about your commitment to learning, that you're really serious, right? And this goes to everybody on this call right now. We're 45 minutes into this call, and you're still on the call learning. That says something to me about your commitment to learning, right? So now, here's how our talk looks. How many of you have ever been nervous at being on stage before, terrified to be on stage before? Thank you. And how many of you would like to learn unshakable confidence so that you can command any audience? Thank you. Hi, my name is Bruce Music. I'd like to welcome you to Teaching Riches. Before we begin, I'd really like to thank you for the time and energy that you've put into coming here today. I know every one of you could have been somewhere else today, and you actually chose to be here with me. And I don't take that lightly, and I don't take that for granted. So I really want to thank you. So, you know, give your partner a pat on the back and say to them, congratulations for being here. So I might just do something like to involve them like that, right? So now we've got step four. I'm just going to speed up your demo because we're approaching the hour, and I want to share so much more with these people, so I'm going to run through this last bit. And then the fifth bit, step five, is to thank the person who invited you. Very important. You will have been invited probably to speak at some event. Maybe it's your host. Maybe it's a company at a corporate event, whatever the case may be. And then you go, you know, so now that you've thanked the audience and acknowledged them, you say, and I want to thank, let's say, Herbalife, if I'm speaking at a network marketing event. I want to thank Herbalife and Chris, the owner here, or the manager here in South Africa, for inviting me to come and speak at his seminar. And let's give Chris a huge round of applause and get the audience to acknowledge the person who invited you. It makes them feel special, and they'll invite you back again to speak, right? So there's more to this than just acknowledging them. They can make them feel good, and they'll love you for it, and they'll invite you back again to speak. So there's five steps. Two enrolling questions. Thank them after each question. Step two, introduce yourself in the name of the course. Step three, acknowledge them for their time and energy. Step four, thank the person who invited you. Now, I think I've missed out a step. No, that's it. There were only four steps. There we go. Now,
right.
You can use this. I'm almost done your demo, and then we'll move on to the next bit. Where would you apply this? What if you're not a speaker? What if you're not a seminar leader? Well, you can use this at wedding speeches. I did exactly this format for my brother's wedding speech. I bought the house down. My brother was in tears. You know, I started off with the two questions. How many of you here think Nick is a great guy? Thank you. And how many of you here think Lauren is just one of the most beautiful women on the planet and they're just perfect for each other? Thank you. Well, hi, I'm Bruce Music. I'm Nick's brother. And, you know, thank you for everybody for coming to Nick's wedding. I know you could have all been, and I just went on like this, and it totally blew them away, right?
Wow.
So you could use it at a wedding speech. You could use it at a lecture if you're a teacher. If you're a school teacher, use this with your participants, particularly the ones who have ADD. Get them interacting. The reason your participants have ADD is because you're so freaking boring as a teacher, because you don't involve them. They're dying to be involved, these young kids, right? When you're introducing a speaker on stage or you're introducing somebody, you can do it then. When you're doing teleseminars, you can do it then. You know, you may not be able to say how many of you, because they can't, if you can't interact with people on the phone because the phones are muted, but you could say, I wonder if any of you have ever had the experience that you've been nervous on stage before. You know, well, I have, and you know, maybe you'd be interested in learning how to get more confidence. Radio interviews, this works really well. Ask the DJ a question. It totally disarms them. Or television interviews. They're asking you a question. You ask them back. And it totally sets up for interaction and fun. So this is really only, this is the first maybe 45 seconds of an effective intro. In my 8-week Teaching Riches course, I teach the entire format, which covers the first 15 minutes of your talk and what you need to do. And you memorize the first 15 minutes of your talk so you're totally got it down flat and you can go in front of any audience. And you'll remember it. And if you do it in every talk you do will be powerful, engaging, fun, and leave the audience with their tongues hanging out of their mouth begging you for more. So there you go. There's my little format for how to start any speech or seminar so the audience love you from the beginning. There's lots more to it. If you're interested, go check out www.teachingriches.com. And we're doing a course starting soon.
Awesome. That's some phenomenal information and really skills that people can carry throughout their entire lives. Now, Bruce, I just wanted to actually share, I guess, some of the progress that I've made recently just through some of the coaching and mentoring that you've given me with my own
facilitation
work. Yeah, and that was just one of the real distinctions that was a total revelation for me was the fact that people have different learning styles. And that as a trainer, like you will typically train in the style that you prefer to learn, but that may actually exclude 75% of the audience. And I was just wondering if you could actually share the different learning styles for people so they can be aware of it and then what they can actually do to involve and engage more of their audience.
Well, this is just fascinating. Thank you for asking me about this because this is one of my favorite things to talk about. This is a based on some research done by a Harvard psychologist called David Kolb, and he studied learning styles and discovered that fundamentally the population has four different learning styles, and that, like you just said, Damien, we will teach in the learning style that we learn in. But when we do that, we exclude three-quarters of the population who have a different learning style. And this is why so many teachers are ineffective and why so many school teachers have out-of-control classrooms with students who don't want to learn, who are bored out of their minds and who get hyperactive and cause trouble, because the teacher's teaching in one language and they learn another language. It's like, you know, if you're teaching in English to a Spanish class, you talk in English but they don't understand English, they only understand Spanish, you're not going to be very effective. You want to be able to speak Spanish to them. So as a trainer, you need to speak four different languages. And they're the languages of why, what, how to, and what if. So I'll go through these a little bit slower. So the four different learning styles each have a question that they need answered in order for them to feel like they're learning, okay? Now, the first learning style, I'm just going to call them the why learners. They need to understand why they are learning what they're learning before they will listen to you. So So until you explain to them why it's important for them to learn this information, they're not interested, right? So you'll notice at the beginning of this call, I explained why it was important to be a trainer, what are some of the great benefits you can have of being a trainer, traveling around the world, you know, changing people's lives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. My idea, that was the why piece. I was getting you excited about why you need to listen. Now, why learners will refuse to listen to you until they know why it's important to listen. So you need to answer that question for them. The next one is what learners. Now, what learners, I'm a what learner and a little bit of a how-to learner. So what I love is information. What learners are the mental masturbators, let's put it that way. These are the people who love data. We judge the value of a book by the number of pages it has in it, not the information inside. If it's like a thick book with 500 pages, we think it's very valuable and has great information. But so we're what learners. We love the data. But here's the thing, only a quarter of the population are what learners, and if you're speaking what language to them, they're not going to, the other learning styles aren't going to learn. So how do you teach what learners? Well, you need to give them the information. You need to give them procedures, and you need to give them distinctions. You need to give them concepts, ideas, all the information around what you're teaching. So in this role, your function really is a teacher. You're teaching the data. In the first quadrant, when you're teaching to the why learners, the first learning style, your role is a salesperson. You're selling them on why they should listen to you. So you almost need to sell them on why it's important to listen to you. So what is the third learning style? Well, the third learning style is what we call how-to learners. And these people, they need a procedure. They need to know step-by-step what to do. They want to know step one, do this. Step two, do that. Step three, do this and that. And if this, then that. They want a step-by-step procedure. So you want to give them a procedure, kind of like what I'm doing now, is I'm giving you the procedure of how to do this. For why learners, you sell them on the idea. For what learners, you teach them the data. For how-to learners, you give them a procedure and you coach them through the procedure, right? And the last learning style is what we're going to call what-if learners. Okay, now what-if learners, these are usually very successful entrepreneurs. They're only interested in application, right? They want to know how you can apply this in your life. And their question is, what if I try this? What if I try that? Or what else could be another question they ask? What else could I do with this? And you'll notice I covered in the last piece that I did, I covered the what-if by saying you could use this. What if you tried it at wedding speeches? What if you tried it in your classrooms or at lectures? That was the what-if part of what I was giving you at the end. So here's the thing. When you're teaching any piece of information or any distinction or anything important, here's what you need to do. You need to cover why, what, how to, and what if. And you use that as a framework to hang your information on. Think of a framework like a coat hanger, that your coat hanger hangs your coat. Well, your framework for teaching will hang your information on. Now, you'll notice I've led this entire training format, this entire training tonight in this call, Damien, in this format. I started off with a why, then I went to some what, then I did some how-tos, how to do your talk, your introduction for your talk, and now how to teach in the four learning styles, and then I did what-ifs at the end along the way, right? Now, I have lots of frameworks. There's many frameworks I teach in my Training Riches seminar. Please do come along and check out trainingriches.com, and you can, if you're interested, come and learn from me about how you can train. I would love to teach you. And I think in a moment, Damien, we're coming up to the end of the hour. If it's okay, I'd love to share a little bit about Training Riches, if that's okay.
That would be great, Bruce. I was just wondering. That's perfect, actually. So, for people, it's teachingriches.com and
teachingriches.com.
I was just wondering, Bruce, if you could actually sort of talk about the learning journey that you take people on with Teaching Riches.
Okay, perfect. Well, first let me tell them how this came about. In fact, Teaching Riches is Damien's fault. Damien has been bugging me for a while now to get a teaching course out there. And I've done this on stage. I've done this one-to-one. I charge my participants thousands of dollars to come and learn from me one-on-one on how to be a successful teacher. And Damien was like, this is an awesome product when Damien came to train with me. You should do this online and teach people all around the world online. And I finally got my act together and put together a course. So thank you, Damien, for making this happen. So here's what the course is called. It's called Teaching Riches, and it's called How to Earn $20,000 a Weekend Teaching What You Love. So if you feel like you've got a skill you want to share with the world, and you've got a message you want to share with the world, this is totally for you. And here's what you can expect off the course. You're going to have everything you need to earn $20,000 or more in a weekend. I'm going to give you the strategies. I'm going to give you my notes. I'm going to give you the templates that I use to create my courses. I'm going to give you my sales templates that I use to create sales pitches from the stage. And by the end of the course, you'll end up being in the top 5% of trainers in the world, I guarantee you, right? Most trainers don't know this information. That's why they remain broke and ineffective. I'm also going to teach you accelerated learning techniques, and this is something I'm passionate about, so that you can accelerate the learning of your students and not just be another boring speaker, but end up being a real trainer who has their audience get an understanding and an experience of the information you're teaching and has them learn and retain the information for years to come. I'm going to help you overcome stage fright. I'm going to teach you some confidence tricks. You're actually going to design your own course and talk on the course. You're going to learn how to manage the energy. One of the things most people don't realize, Damien, is that as a teacher, our job is not, or as a trainer, our job is not so much to deliver data, but to manage energy in the room. Because when the energy of our audience is high and fun and excited, they're going to learn, and they're going to have fun learning, and they're going to want to learn more. You know, at school, the energy was so boring and dull for most of us that we've learned not to like learning, because we had teachers who didn't manage energy, didn't know how to manage energy, and they just kind of spoke at us, and we fell asleep. So I'm going to teach you a whole lot of techniques during the course for how to manage energy. And then we're going to look at stage skills, how you can command the stage using secret techniques that I've learned from some of the world's greatest trainers. We're going to learn how you can answer audience questions and deal with the objections. I'm going to teach you power positions to stand on the stage, ways to use your hands, ways to use your feet, ways to stand, postures to stand that command respect, different spots on the stage that have different meanings that you can anchor into your audience when you want to do different things, how to get an audience to respond to you, how to deal with hecklers. This is one of my favorites. Like, every speaker's nightmare is a heckler. Somebody in the audience who is a bad egg and who wants to take you down, right? How do you handle them? Well, I've got some specific techniques to help you handle hecklers, and you're not going to ask them to leave. You know what some speakers I've seen do, and it's just so unprofessional, they say, look, if you don't like what I'm saying, get out the room. And that really just shows how inexperienced they are, because they're not really hearing the person's concern. I'm going to teach you how to leave a heckler acknowledged, seen, and feeling like you've really gotten them, so that they stop heckling and actually start listening and become a valued part of the audience. I've often had my hecklers become my biggest fans once I've used these techniques with them, because they get that I actually respect that the fact that they're skeptical, because I'm a skeptic myself, right? I'm definitely a skeptic, and I know what it's like to be sitting in the audience going, I don't buy what this guy's saying, and you stick your hand in the air, not necessarily want to take the person down, but just to get clarity. But most trainers are so scared, they treat somebody asking questions as a threat, and then they try and kick the heckler out of the room. And it just kind of shows that, well, you know, I don't want to do business with somebody like that. So I'm going to teach you a trick for managing the audience. We're also going to look at your marketing, because it's all good being a teacher and a trainer and a speaker. But if you don't have anybody to speak to, well, that's not going to be very useful to you. So I'm going to teach you how you can learn to sell your product or yourself or your seminar in an honest way with integrity that leaves your audience feeling respected, honored, and compels them to want to buy your products and books and seminars and coaching and whatever else you offer along the way. This is just so powerful. It's made such a difference. And this is where the money really comes in. Because as a trainer, another mindset to take on is that you're a marketer too. So many trainers think of themselves as teachers, not marketers, and that's why they remain broke. So we're going to look at the marketing, and I teach it to you in a really simple system that by the end of the course, you'll have your course outline done with your biography all done. You'll have all the stuff. So you'll go out into the world not knowing how to be a trainer, but actually being a trainer. You'll have everything you need to be a trainer, and you will have practiced along the way. I'm also going to teach you some sales skills. Most people are terrified of selling, and they hate selling. But like I said earlier, I'm going to show you a step-by-step template that you can use to design an irresistible offer the right way that your audience will want to buy from the start, whether you're speaking on stage or whether you're on a teleseminar or whatever the case may be, whether you're an extrovert or whether you're an introvert. You know, some of the best speakers I know, Damien, are introverts. They're quiet in their quiet little way, they manage to enroll and excite people, keep the energy high, and they might just speak very softly like this, but what they're saying has so much conviction in it. I'm also going to show you how to use your voice, how to throw your voice, how to project your voice, how to use different tones of voice to get really excited, and then to get really serious when you need to.
I was just going to add in there, Bruce, as well, like what many people on the call might not know is that you've actually also an incredibly accomplished music producer. So, which I guess your journey as a music producer when you're beginning your career included a number one best-selling hit in or number one hit in South Africa. So
your actual
understanding of the voice and how to use it effectively is really outstanding, and I've just had so many insights just from what you've shared with me about it.
My speciality as a music producer was coaching vocalists to get the best performance. I wasn't the greatest mix engineer. I wasn't the greatest guitarist. But one thing I was brilliant at was getting a great performance out of a singer or a musician. And the same thing applies to speakers when I'm doing my coaching training. I'm really good at getting great performance out of training people how to speak. So here's a little bit about what the course entails. It's 8 weeks of teletraining. You're going to have 90 minutes each week of learning one-on-one with me on a teleseminar just like this. But it's limited to 10 people. I can only, because you're going to have so much one-on-one attention from me, I can only take 10 people on this course at a time. Otherwise, I just wouldn't be able to give you the kind of attention you need to become the trainer I'm committed that you become. So we'll have 90 minutes of training each week, once a week, on a call. So there'll be 8 modules of 90 minutes. And then there's going to be a 60-minute live question and answer call about that particular week's topic each week. So on top of the 90 minutes, you'll have another 60 minutes on the phone with me, where you'll be able to ask questions. It's just going to be question and answers from all the 10 people in the group. Then you're going to design your talk and your 15-minute introduction. And I'm going to personally review each of the 10 people's 15-minute introductions. I'm going to critique them for you, give you suggestions, give you advice, work with you through it so that it turns into something that's spectacular and wows your audience, so that every time you walk on stage, you're going to really blow your audience away. If you're can't make any of the calls for any reason, there's going to be online replays of each training session and question and answer call. You're going to be put into a buddy system, so you'll be working with a buddy to practice with. Now, if you've got a webcam, we're also going to have the facility to upload videos of yourself speaking that I'll critique. You can upload them to YouTube, put them on a private account so the world can't see them, only I can see them. And then I'll actually critique your videos of you speaking so that I can work with you via video training straight away. A lot of our trainings will be done also not on teleseminars but on video conference too, so you can actually see me demonstrating what I'm doing, not just have to imagine it. And then we're also going to have forums like, and that kind of stuff and bulletin boards where you can chat with the other participants what you're learning, ask questions, and it'll answer. The whole idea here is you're going to be getting more access to me than anybody other than my wife, basically. Nobody has this amount of access to me, not even my family. So I'm really committed that you become the greatest speaker you can in 8 weeks, and that by the end of 8 weeks, you don't just know about how to be a speaker, you are a great trainer. You're somebody who goes out there and does transform lives. I'm committed by the end of 8 weeks, you've actually led your first training session. If you're not a newbie and you're an experienced trainer, this will take it to a whole new level for you anyway. So this is for people who, you know, want to teach what they've learned, who need to speak. Even if you don't want to train, you just want to be a speaker, and you want to be able to do it with style, with grace, with poise, and with power, and enroll your audience, this is for you. If you have no intention of training, this is also for you, because you could improve your public speaking skills, and it'll turn you to a riveting speaker who kind of commands the, well, not kind of, who commands the stage and captivates your audience. And this is particularly useful if you have to do presentations at work, you know, or enroll your bosses in something, or lead your team. You know, teachers are leaders, and leaders are teachers, or leaders are trainers, and teachers are trainers. And great leaders need to be able to have followers follow them. How you can tell a great leader is by the amount of followers are following them. If you want to be a great leader in life, you need to be able to enroll people and speak in a compelling way. So this course is really for you if you're one of those people, if you have information you want to share with the world, and you want to learn to train effectively, whether it's online or offline. It starts on the 15th of April, that's a month from now, and continues every week for 8 weeks. You can learn from anywhere in the world. All you need to do is call in the number like this, or you can stream it online on the internet. You're going to be able to ask me questions. And, you know, the question that comes in is, how much does this cost? Well, I want to keep this brief and affordable. I've spent like 6 years studying this stuff, Damon, as you know, and I've traveled all around the world, spent multiple five-figure sums on being trained. I think last year alone I spent $30,000 just on training, still training myself how to train, so I can become yet a better speaker and a better trainer. So I've put 6 years of my life into learning this, and I've made all the mistakes that you're probably making already. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to teach you how you can not make the mistakes I've made. And I was going to charge, well, I am going to charge $3,000 for this course. This course is $3,000, and I think that's actually a runaway bargain, considering what you're going to learn and the amount of money you're going to make. Consider at the end of this, you're going to be able to make $20,000 a weekend regularly on a regular basis, teaching what you love. However, because this is the first time that I've ever done this course, and Damien's kind of been at me to do this for ages, there's some bugs I'm going to need to iron out, and that, you know, this is going to be my trial beta testing run. And you guys, the first 10 people on this course, or you girls, or guys and girls, which would be great, on this course, are going to be like my little guinea pigs. And you'll probably get more attention from me than any of the other courses combined. So in return for you being my guinea pigs and allowing me to kind of test out how this is going to work online with you, I'm going to give you a serious discount. And we're going to do the call, the entire 8-week course, for only $997. That is just, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, you're going to be getting 12 hours of my time teaching, one-on-one coaching, and about 18 hours of my time teaching over these 8 weeks. And that would normally cost thousands of dollars alone. So this really is a cheap price. If you can't afford $1,000 right now, you can pay it off in three installments of $397 each month for 3 months. And starting now, your first installment tonight, and your next installment a month from now when the course starts, and then your last installment a month into the course. And that will work out a little bit more. That works out to $1,191. So it's about $200 more than if you were to pay in full right now, which is $997. So there you pretty much have it. I only have 10 places available. They're going to go, I'm sure, by the end of tomorrow. So if you're interested in becoming one of the top 5% of trainers in the world in learning how to earn $20,000 a weekend or more, making a difference to people's lives, helping people that you love, and teaching what you love, I highly recommend you go to teachingriches.com right now and go and register for this course before they all sell out straight away. So there you have it. I'd love to see you on my course, and that's my little bit about it. It's www.teachingriches.com.
Awesome, Bruce. Wow, that's amazing. I can certainly just totally endorse all the work that you've done with me. It really has made a massive impact on the way that I stand up and speak in front of audiences. And really, like our friendship and connection has just been so rich and fertile for just sharing incredible resources and ideas. So anyone who's in that space of sitting back and thinking whether this is for them, like, I can certainly wholeheartedly endorse the work that Bruce does. And one thing I can guarantee is that he will give you 150% of his time, energy, and effort to really help you make some breakthroughs.
Thank you, Damien. And like, just to kind of wrap that up, when Damien says I'm going to give 150% of my time, one of my mindsets I'm going to teach you as a trainer to do is to overpromise and then over-deliver. What most trainers do is they under-promise because they don't want to fall short of their promises, so they never really get committed. And then they over-deliver on their under-promise, so they never really do anything great. To be a great trainer, you need to over-promise. And I know I've promised you a lot on this call, and I've promised you a lot out of the teachingriches.com course, but you also have my promise that I will over-deliver, and you have my word as a man with integrity that I will over-deliver on everything I can. And if there's anything you're struggling with, you'll be getting one-on-one attention from me to make sure you get through it and you do transform and break through to be the greatest teacher you can be.
Great. Now, Bruce, we've covered so much material this evening. I just wanted to just take a moment to quickly recap over the different areas that we've covered. Now, we literally started the call this evening really getting the definition of what a trainer is and how that actually varies from teaching. We talked about some of the mindsets that's required to be like a really powerful presenter, trainer, and speaker. We also explored the common mistakes that new trainers make, but also more seasoned trainers as well, that they may be unaware of. So those five common mistakes were very, very illuminating. We also explored how to start any talk or workshop or seminar with absolute confidence and literally have a structure that you can take all the way through your speaking career that will serve you each and every single time you hit the stage. And finally, and one of the real powerful distinctions that I've made recently, just exploring the whole notion of learning styles and how to present your information in a way that's going to be palatable and really receivable by the different people in your audience. So, Bruce, we really have covered a phenomenal amount of value in this call. Like, I've certainly taken some notes that will bring me to greater levels of performance as well. So I just really wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you wholeheartedly for sharing this information tonight. Like, you're calling in all the way from South Africa. You're in the middle of a motorcycle tour around the desert to take some time out of your day and to prepare and look through all the questions and really give your heart and soul this evening. I just really wanted to say thank you and acknowledge you for the incredible work that you do in the world. And yeah, it's awesome to have you as one of my closest friends.
Yeah, thank you. And I love you to pieces. And I know that this call wouldn't have happened and this course wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you. So thank you. Because as a result of you pushing me to make this thing happen online, 10 lucky people are going to turn into extraordinary people. And who knows how many lives they're going to touch. They're going to turn into extraordinary trainers, should I say. And who knows how many lives they're going to touch as a result of you having a conversation with me. We could be, it could change thousands and thousands of people's lives. So thank you too.
Cool, my pleasure. And also just wanted to say thank you very much for everyone at home. Like, your active participation on these calls on a weekly basis, from actually submitting your questions in by the form prior to the call, to giving us feedback on the website, in the comment forms, to actually participating in the forums, all these different pieces of conversation really make this a really, really enriching process. And it's great that it's a conversation that's happening on a global basis. So wherever you are in the world, I just really wanted to thank you and acknowledge you for being a part of this magical process. And awesome. Yeah, we look forward to having you all on a call very soon.
Me too. I want to say thank you to everybody who's tuned in from all around the world, and thank you for sticking it out through the hour. I hope you've gotten lots of value and you use this in your life. And please do email me and let me know how you've used it, and I look forward to seeing you on the Teaching Riches course.
Okay. Thanks, Bruce, and thank you, everyone.